السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين وعلى إمام النبيين وعلى إمام المتقين وعلى إمام المجاهدين سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في قرآن العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة أو ما ملكت أيمانكم وقال نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقال عيلا فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام My dear respected elders and brothers, with the grace of the almighty Allah, we are gathered here to commemorate the sunnah of Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the nikah is a sunnah of mine, it is a tradition of mine. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith said, la sarurata fil islam, there is no celibacy in Islam. If you take other religions, you find that there is celibacy, practice of celibacy in there. In Christianity, the clergy, they don't get married in certain criteria because they practice celibacy in their life. Likewise, if you take the Jews, they also have a criteria where they don't get married. They practice celibacy in their life. So, my dear respected elders and brothers, Islam showed us a path, and the messenger that was sent down by Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala, and he is the final messenger, he said there is no celibacy in Islam. If you are a real Muslim, if you want to become a part of Islam, then you have to get married. Of course, at the right time. But unfortunately, we see that some of us have started to practice something which not has been taught us by Islam. Most of the time we find that people in Islam, those who say that we are Muslims, those who say that we are mu'min, they have a tendency of practicing the style of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. By the coming of Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala has changed all the religions that he has been sent down before Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made that the final religion and the religion that is accepted by Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala, that is Islam, that is Furqan. So whomsoever who have been practicing earlier religions, if they are the real Muslim, they want to get the pleasure of Allah, then they have to practice the Islam, the Furqan that has been revealed finally to this world. So most of the time we see that tendency that we try to practice the system which was practiced at the time of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. That is, now in a family there are two girls and two boys. The boys were never given in marriage until the two girls were given in marriage. Now this is a practice in our life. And we find that most of the fitna has arisen because of this practice. Sometimes they will be looking for a groom for their daughters. They will never find a groom. It is being taken day by day, year by year. They are also growing old. And these sons, they are also growing old. So what happens? Until the daughters were given in marriage, the sons are not given in marriage. What I am trying to tell you, brothers, is that Islam is not just preaching. Islam is not just listening. Islam is not, okay, this is Islam, okay, let that be there. But there is a way of practicing it. So we have been practicing this for a long time. My grandfather used to do this. My great-grandfather used to do this. So how am I going to break this tradition and say the real Islam is this? The tendency is there. So today what has happened is, most of the time, if there are two girls in the family, the boys are not given in marriage. Until the girls are given in marriage, at their late age, they are given in marriage, and to find the boys when they get married, they are also past the age of marriage. My dear respected elders and brothers, this practice is not in Islam. You might ask me, all of a sudden, Hazrat, you are falling into this category and you are talking about this in this Nikah Majlis. Now, this is a Majlis which is appropriate to tell that. Recently, a family came to me asking a fatwa, saying that they have two daughters. Their sons are 40 years old. One is 40 and one is 42 years. Because the daughters are not given in marriage, they can't give the sons in marriage. I asked, why? Does the sons have any illness or any eligibility that they can't get married? They said no. The only reason that they have postponed the marriage of their sons because they have not given their daughters in marriage. My dear respected elders and brothers, although we think who is going to do this, we are also in the same category. You go home and you keep your hand in your heart and ask yourself, question yourself, how old is my son and how old is my daughter? Am I prepared to give my son in marriage before I give my daughter in marriage? Of course, we will give our son in marriage if our daughter is only 2 years old or 3 years old. But if she is around 15 or 16 years old and our son is around 28 or 30 years old, we will never think of giving our son in marriage before we give our daughter in marriage. This is not a practice of Islam, my dear respected elders and brothers. We should understand that Islam is a way of life. Unless we practice the way that Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has preached us, we are not going to be the real Muslims, nor we are going to be the real Muslims. This is a very important thing that we have to understand. There are a lot of brothers, I personally know, they are old enough to have children, but still they have not got married. My dear respected elders and brothers, those who have this responsibility of giving their children in marriage, please keep this informed. Please keep this in mind that Islam is something else and what you are practicing is something else. Don't name this as Islam. Don't name this as Islam. Actually, this problem has arisen because we have taken the responsibility of giving our sons in marriage. But in Islam, for the son, for a man, for a male, the father is not responsible to give him in marriage unless that he has any difficulties or he has some illness that he can't cope up with the natural life. My dear respected elders and brothers, today the trend has changed. We have forgotten the real teaching of Islam. We have forgotten the real teaching of Rasul-e Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have started a new life in the name of Islam, and it is not it. You see, when the nikah is done, the groom's father has no right in the nikah. Now, you would have been seated for a long, so many nikahs here. There would have been done so many nikahs here. But you would have seen the groom's father, he doesn't have any say in the marriage. The daughter's father has a say in the marriage because he has to be the wali to give his daughter in marriage. But the groom, that he has to say qabiltu nikaha. He has to accept the nikah. Now this is real Islam. If the groom is get ready to marry, he is capable of all what Islam has said. He is equipped with all the equipments that Islam has told him. Then he is eligible to get married. Only thing that he has to find a suitable partner. Today, the fathers and mothers interfere in that marriage. My dear respected elders and brothers, please don't take me in a wrong way. Don't think that I am telling the boys or the male generation to find their partners on their own. What I am saying is that the responsibility of a father ends in a certain place and the responsibility of the son starts at a certain place. Today what we have done, the trend that we have created is the father looks for the bride, for the son. The father is the one who goes first and see the bride. Then the mother goes, or the family members, they go and visit the bride. And they don't give a chance for the groom to go and see the bride. Unless they are not satisfied, he is not allowed to go and see the bride. So normally what happens? The father, mother, the sisters, the family goes and sees the bride. And if they are not satisfied, with what? With what? They are not satisfied with what? To be honest, my dear brothers, they are not satisfied with the wealth that the girl has, or they are not satisfied with the beauty that the girl has. Now the groom has not seen her. The boy has not seen her. This teaching is not from Islam. Mark my words, my dear respected elders and brothers, this is not a practice of Islam. If there is a bride, let the groom go and see her first. If he is satisfied with her, who are you to interfere in that matter? Because in Sharia, the father has no say in the marriage of the son. To be honest with you. He has no say at all. Only thing that you can care about is the family background. If the girl is good, if the family is good, yes, of course you can concern about that. That is allowed in Islam. But before the groom sees the bride, how can you decide that this child is not eligible for my son? So this is something, my dear respected elders and brothers, today we have understood Islam in a different manner. Like we have been living with the Indians for a long time. The culture of the time, the Hindu culture has brought into our culture. It has forced into our culture. So we always think about something which is not in Islam. Another, for an example, if you want to see the real Islam of a man or of a person, you have to wait till someone in his family get married. Then you will see the Islam in him. He is not bothered about what is the order of Allah, the commandment of Allah. He is not bothered about the lifestyle of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told in the nikah. But he will be bothered about what his wife will be saying. He will be bothered about his grandparents. He will be bothered about the next door neighbor. He will be bothered about his parents. He will be bothered about his friends. He will be bothered about the other people who will talk about this marriage. What a simple marriage. Is it a marriage? People came to the masjid, the nikah was done. Next day the bride was taken to the groom's house. It was a small walima, that's all. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most barakat filled walima is the less expense. With less expense, that is the most barakat filled walima. Today, the walima is also the namesake. The walima is not given by the groom. It is organized and given by the father. The groom's father. So the son has no say at all in that. If the father is a very rich man, he will say, I will have the walima in a hotel. Or he will say, I will have the walima in a such and such a place. I want all my friends to be there. I want to make myself proud in front of my friends and say that I have given my son in marriage with all these things. We are living a boasting life. There's no life in that. There is no soul in that. We are trying to live a life for the namesake. My dear respected elders and brothers, what Islam says is the walima should be given by the hard earn of the groom by himself. So whatever that he can afford, he will call, he will invite the people towards the walima, and whatever he affords, he gives away. Sardar-e-do-alam, the leader of the both worlds, Hazrat Aqdas sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how was his walima? Hazrat Safiya bint Huyay was given in marriage to him when he was returning after a war. On the way the nikah was done, and his walima was just paneer and dates. That was his walima. That was his walima. And the walima was given to whom? Those who participated in the war, they were the people who were graced the walima. My dear respected elders and brothers, today what are we worried about? What are we worried about today? We think that spending our money for our son, that is the greatest thing. I'll tell you, the real Sharia, Allah's commandment and the order of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to give the share of your son at the right moment, so that he will be a person who will stand on his own legs and he will be able to spend for his family. Today what happens? The son is not in that category. The father has not given him anything. Still the son is under the control of the father. The child is given in marriage. Now the son has nowhere to go. So either he lives with his in-laws, that is his wife's place, or he lives with his father, that is the in-law of the girl's place. Now what happens? After certain time, there will be problems cropping up. Either the mother-in-law will say, my daughter-in-law is not good, there are problems, they can't live in the same house. Or if the son is with the in-laws, the in-laws will say, my son-in-law is not good, he doesn't listen to us, he doesn't do that, he doesn't do this, he doesn't go for work, he doesn't earn much, he always sleeps at the house. Problems popping up. Now what happens? After 3 months, 6 months, the son and the wife, they want to find a house separate and they want to go there. And when they come to that conclusion also, there will be problems. Now the father will say, how are you going to leave? Why are you going to leave? The people will ask me. They will think that I have ill-treated you. So if you move off now, they will be asking questions from me, I have to answer them. So better you stay here with the musibat. With the musibat. The same thing applies to that side. If he is there, they will also say the same thing. And he will have to live with the musibat. Now the family life of these two people, where we prayed for the barakat and everything, the family life of these two people will become a drastic disaster. The groom will say, I can't live with her. The bride will say, I can't with this man. Why? There are a lot of problems. If the son is with the father, he has to listen to his father and mother. If the daughter, the bride is with her parents, she has to listen to her father and mother. Now this is the problem. Sharia says is, when you get married, so it is the sole responsibility of the groom to find a separate house the next moment the nikah is done. The next moment the nikah is done. He have to find a separate house. It may be for a rent. That doesn't matter. It may be a very small house. Doesn't matter. What Sharia says is that you have to find a separate house. When you get married, you find a separate house. Today that trend is not with us. You take the whole Muslim community, they want to keep their child inside their house. This is not Islam, my dear brother. This is not Islam. The families are having problems they are going to the qazis because of this sunnah is not practiced properly. This sunnah is not practiced properly, they are having lot of problems. So it is the sole responsibility of the groom. If the groom can't afford a house, then he is not eligible for nikah. This is what Islam says. Three things. One is that the groom should be able to give a separate house for the wife. Second thing, he should be able to provide her with clothes. Third thing, he should be able to provide her with the food that she needs. These three things are compulsory upon a groom. If he is eligible for these three things, then he is eligible of getting married. If he is not eligible of these three things, then my dear respected elders and brothers, don't give your daughters in marriage to a person of that caliber. That is against Islam, because he can't take care of his family. He can't take care of his family. And even if you give her in marriage, if he can't afford a house, what I was telling you will happen to them. And finally they will end up in a Qazi court saying that we can't live together, we want divorce or we want holo. So my dear respected elders and brothers, it is not a point of giving a bayan or listening to a bayan and just walking out. Just take this into your mind and ponder what Islam has taught us. Why the families are breaking up? Why we are having problems in our family? Okay, two young people are brought together, they are given in marriage. Does our parentship allow them to live their life? Does our parentship allow them to enjoy their marriage life? If the new bride, or say the daughter-in-law, goes and have a bath during the daytime, the mother-in-law starts it. Where does she start? What is this? Adi kolam atne meka. මේ අපිවත් කරලා නැති ඒවා. නාංග සෙයියාගෙන ඉඳලා පුදුම මනරු කොලමයි කි. පට්ට බවල්ල පිට කුලිකිරා ඉවක කුලිකිර දෙත්තම් වේලයි. Why did you give him in marriage? What is the purpose of giving in marriage? You give your son in marriage at the age of 40 and you expect him to make the bride sit and look at her? This is why you have given her in marriage? What is this, brothers? My dear respected elders and brothers, please ponder. So this is why the Islam says, go separate. You can enjoy the whole day. There is no restriction for you. There is no restriction for you. You will learn to live a life. If you don't go separate, you will never learn the life until your parents are dead and gone. Pardon me for using this word, dead and gone, because inside their heart they are burning. Let my father die and go. I can't live with him. I can't live my life because of my father. I can't live my life because of my mother. I can't live my life because of my father-in-law. I can't live a life because of my mother-in-law. Once you give your children in marriage, please don't interfere in their life. Please don't interfere in their life. Today people who say that they are people with Islam, they know Islam, they practice Islam, they are the problem proper, my dear brothers. Because they have not understand Islam in the proper way. This is why Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, if you are getting married, before you get married, go to an alim and get advice how you should spend your life after marriage. How you should spend your life after marriage. That is important. That is important. My dear respected elders and brothers, we think that we know everything. When you think that you know everything, that is the first step for your disaster. That is the first step for your disaster. People who are educated, they think, we are educated, we know how to handle things. If you are known how to handle things, recently a psychiatrist, has come to the Qazi court to have a divorce. How do you explain this? How do you explain this, my dear brother? A psychiatric doctor has come to the Qazi court asking for a divorce. People go to him saying that we are having problems. He claimed that I am a psychiatric doctor and I have the eligibility to look into your problems and give solution to you. My dear respected elders and brothers, please, I request you, as you are parents, please see to this. If you are giving your son in marriage, give him whatever that is important for him and give him your separate life where he will understand life. Don't think your child is still small. 40-year-old son, you think he is still small. You try to walk him to the bus stand. You want to walk him to the shop. My dear respected elders and brothers, if you are trying to do that, we are not real Muslims. We are not real Muslims. Please keep this in mind. And may we all get together and make dua for our brother who is getting married today here in this masjid. And may Allah give him barakah and all the wealth that is best for him in here and hereafter. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.